Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, Michael Kay, I cannot believe that you and I are finally back on the air. Good evening, everyone, and as always, we want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. Michael, it has been a couple of weeks, right?
Well, it's been a couple months, actually. We took a nice long hiatus. Both of us were going through what we were going through, and a good hiatus. And I think this is a brilliant part, brilliant time to go ahead and start back up. You know, I do have to thank you for being such a great boss, because we can make our own hours, and there's nobody punching the clock. But, yeah, it's been a lovely break, but I'm so excited to be back and back on the air with you, my lovely lady.
Yes, I do. I feel exactly the same, so I do want to just put out there to all of our wonderful fans and family and listeners to thank you guys for allowing Michael and I to take some time off, because Michael, I was looking at our shows, and in fact, we have done over 250 shows, so I think that we really deserve, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months vacation break in. It was well worth it, because we are rejuvenated, we're recharged, and we've got a lot of good shows that Michael and I are both working on. But with that said, there's a young lady who's going to join us before web series producer and director Steve Silverman joins us at the bottom of the show. Michael, tell us a little bit about our guest. We're going to talk a little bit about real estate. That's always fun, right?
Yeah, Liesl is going to go ahead and tell us what's happening with the real estate market, why your house isn't worth nothing, what we can do to go ahead and improve the retail market value, and all that good stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan of HGTV and Flip This Property, Property Brothers, Income Properties, so I'm really interested to get her take on it. And then, yeah, Steve Silverman is going to be joining us. We had so much fun in New York, Vic. Wouldn't you say that was the most fun you've ever had in a while?
Yeah. It was, and I'm looking forward to talking to Steve Silverman about that, and also his observations of the Indy Soap Awards is what Michael and I are referring to. So, yeah, we're going to get into all of that. And also, I'm really excited because we actually have some audio clip of Steve's new web series, The End, which is very cool.
Yeah, we have clips actually from clips from the finale, which aired on Monday this week, so it's a great clip and another breaking edge into the At Home with Victoria technology department. I have to say, I'm very excited. That's something we can add.
And the technology department would, by the way, would basically be Michael Kay. So yes, thank you very much. We've added
basically
a new,
Michael Kay figured it out.
We've added a new on your resume. You can add something new job description to your resume. So I would like to thank you very much. But with that said, we're going to bring Liesl Teller on the air. And she and I went back and forth, Michael. I want to say it's been starting in December or perhaps even November, going back and forth, and she was telling me about her experience in real estate. And she was super excited about coming on. But, again, we kind of took that big break, and so she emailed me the other day. I was so happy to see that she stuck with it, and she emailed me. So with that said, Liesl, thank you so much for being patient, and finally welcome to the show.
Thank you, Victoria, for welcoming me to this show. I appreciate you having me on tonight. So thank you, thank you, thank you again.
Well, listen, before Michael and I start to roll those questions off and talk about sort of the state of real estate in America for buyers and sellers, do you like any of the shows on HGTV and all of that stuff? What's your take on that?
I love all the shows on HGTV, and actually my favorite show is House Hunters, and I can tell you a funny story. Because it's my favorite show on House Hunters, I actually have an episode coming up on House Hunters. I'll be on 17th.
Wow.
What day again?
April 17th.
That is absolutely cool, April the 17th. Well, we are going to promote that for you on all of our shows up until that point and on Facebook, so we look forward to seeing you. And it's kind of cool, Michael. I feel like we have a little exclusive before the show actually hits the air, right?
I love it. I love it. It's exactly what we're all about. So, Liesl, let's talk about the current situation. Economically, I see so many repossession trucks coming in to take cars in and out of my my neighborhood. I see for sale signs. I see people actually, you know, having to foreclose in the area. What is the 411 in the current housing market?
Well, even though right now you're printing, you're kind of picturing a grim picture of the market, there's actually signs of recovery on the horizon. So please don't despair. So okay. Right now we are truly experiencing signs that recovery is on the way in this current market. The rate of, however, of course, the rate of recovery depends on the area in which you live. Like, for example, everybody knows that Miami, Phoenix, and the Northeast Corridor were some of the hardest hit areas during the housing crash. But now we are seeing signs of recovery in market as home prices are increasing. Another area that stands out is the Washington, D.C. market, which, of course, that's the area I work in. And even during the housing crash, Washington, D.C. wasn't really affected that badly. But, however, if you drive a couple miles, like, towards Maryland, Prince George's County in particular, that was one of the areas that was hardest hit. And we are definitely seeing signs of recovery in the market. So I tell everyone, don't despair. You know, everything is coming to an end. Home prices are going up. I mean, everything is going to be okay.
And, you know,
wow.
Too, I was just watching, I think it was on CNBC, I kind of, you know, we'll keep that on in CNN and different stations around the house during the day. And I remember hearing something about one way that that the real estate market is measured by, and that's new construction. And apparently new construction in the U.S. was up. You know, it wasn't a lot, but it was up by something like, you know, 1% to 2%, which apparently was really, really good compared to the last 6 months to a year. So they were kind of touting that, you know, once you start to see that new construction, then somewhere within that, you know, the market is starting to rebound. But I did want to piggyback, Liesel, off of what you talked about, and that's D.C. It is interesting how some areas, you know, even through a crisis in the real estate market being shot and really bad, how some areas it just doesn't affect those areas. And then, you know, like, for example, Michael was talking about some areas in his community, it really does affect the area. So I'm wondering, is some of that also just based on, I'm assuming, industry and income levels in which those areas where people live?
Definitely. Industry and income also did play a huge factor. One thing about Washington, D.C. is the nation's capital. It's where a lot of federal government jobs are based. So I believe that's one of the main reasons why that area wasn't affected too badly, because, of course, there's a strong employment, you know, a strong employment base in that area, whereas other states, like, for example, Miami, they are known for having a low employment rate. So they were hit a little bit harder and, of course, more affected by what happened in the economy. But as I said earlier, you know, don't despair. Even though this area was affected, the market is on the rebound. You know, home prices are going up. There are a lot of buyers out there because of the low interest rates that these mortgage companies are now offering. Of course, this is unbelievable because this hasn't happened. These interest rates were not around a few years ago. I mean, you can now get an interest rate of 3.25% on a home. That's unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah, so there is signs of recovery. So I don't want anybody to focus on the fact that the housing the housing crash is still there. There are definite signs of recovery in the market.
And, you know, Michael and I were talking about this because we had had a vacation home that we had decided after 7 years that we wanted to sell. But we were really nervous about, you know, trying to sell it because if you watch the news and you read the newspaper within my industry, it was so doom and gloom. And I thought, man, this house is probably going to sit on the market for 5 or 6 years, or who knows if we're ever going to be able to get rid of this thing. And, Michael, remember me telling you, to my surprise, from the time that we put the house on the market, and this was based on, you know, we had a couple of people come in that made recommendations of what they thought should be upgraded, which really, and it was very small things. It wasn't like major, major things. From the time that we did that and put the house on the market, I want to say within 5 to 6 months, we had two people that made us offers on the house, and we were able to work out a deal, and we were able, LaSalle, to actually sell our house. So, I, you know, we were really going into it thinking, oh, God, this is going to be forever, at least, you know, 2 or 3 years before we can unload this house. So, you know, so from our experience, it happened really fast because we weren't expecting it to happen that fast. But But I do think also one thing is that you've got to, when people come into your house, if you're trying to sell it, you've got to listen to their recommendations and do what they tell you to do to make it
exactly.
move.
Exactly.
Right?
No,
exactly.
Absolutely. And Lisa, I'm just going to go ahead and clear up the air here, because Victoria's talking about her six-bedroom mansion up in the hills. It wasn't like she was trying to sell a two-bedroom condo in Anacostia, you
no
know what I mean?
No, know that. Who cares?
I know, but...
Actually, Michael, you know what? That is the trend we're experiencing right now, and that's because right now there's a low inventory of homes available for sale on the market.
Right.
So once you put your home on the market for sale, buyers are coming in and snatching up these homes quickly because of the low inventory of homes available. So
and
that
low
is
interest
not
rate.
Yeah, and low interest rate. I mean, like I told you, I focused on the Washington D.C. area, so lenders are offering, you know, a lot of closing cost help to first-time home buyers. I mean, there are abundance of ways for buyers to buy their first home. And it's just causing, because of the low inventory of homes, it's causing competition. So if you put your house on the market and it's in decent condition, you can expect multiple offers within a matter of days. In fact, I was talking to one of my colleagues, and he just listed a property last Thursday, and he told me by Saturday he had 8 offers on the property.
Wow.
So that's the reality of the market now. It's, you know, it's slowly turning into a seller's market because there's no availability of homes on the market, and there's a ton of buyers because of all the incentives that lenders are offering first-time home buyers and the low interest rate.
Let me ask you, though. I mean, definitely, I hear what you're saying, honey. I'm sorry, honey. I call everybody
okay.
I love, honey. I'm so, Lisa, honest to God, I'm not some kind of misogynist. But with the amount of foreclosures going on in the market right now, mm-hmm. there still is not a big surplus of homes available for sale. Is it the short sale that's scaring off the potential buyers?
Actually, no. Short sales are encouraging buyers because for those listeners who don't know what a short sale is where the owner of a property is selling a home for less than what they owe the mortgage company. These homes that are being sold as short sales are actually priced at what a home would have sold for in 2000, 2001. So
mm-hmm.
these are homes that are very nice and what a home buyer could not afford back in 2005, 2006. So even short sales are being snatched up quickly by potential home buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and actually that gets us into a really good question. In fact, first I want to just thank everyone who is inside the chat room, Gretchen, too. We've got a lot of guests, Mar, NJPAI, and Shannon Sybil, who is listening all the way from the United Kingdom, London. So we want to thank our UK listeners for being with us tonight. But Mar, our producer, actually brought up a really good question, and I don't know if you can answer this, but she talks about what new information that the government has any benefiting mortgage owners. And you had mentioned programs before. So are there governmental and, you know, nonprofit organizations that have programs out there for first-time home buyers? I'm sure there are.
Yes, there are many first-time home buyers, many first-time home buyer programs out there. For example, one of them right now that is popular is called the CDA program, which is short for the Community Development Association program. And this program gives first-time home buyers up to $5,000 in closing cost help to purchase their first home. Another program that's being offered is called the My Home program. And the My Home program actually ran out of money last June, and they now have money again. And this program is giving first-time home buyers $20,000 in closing cost help to help them buy their first home. And, of course, there's a list of many, many, many more programs. So, of course, if your listeners want to reach out to me, you know, to find out more about that, they can always call me or send me a message on Facebook. But those are the two more popular programs that are being utilized by mortgage lenders in the industry today.
Wow.
You know, and I was... I'm sorry, Michael. You go ahead. I can.
I'm neglecting chat too. I'm listening to the conversation, but I just want to go ahead and say, Lisa, too. You mentioned I'm a big fan of House Hunters, House Hunters International,
yeah.
House Hunters, and everything like that. Please explain. And I'm sure I know the answer. I'm sure it's based on the revenue of the area. But why is it so cheap to buy a really big house in Las Vegas? I know you're from the D.C. area, but I mean, you
yeah,
know
Michael's been wondering
there.
This for a while.
I think it's the market, and of course. The income levels out there in Las Vegas. I mean, that's my best answer of what's going on. So, of course, the market is cheap. So if you and I were to take our salary, what we make in our area, and take it to Vegas, we'll be able to buy mansions and live very comfortably and wonder why we're still in the area we're in and paying all this money for these small houses.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Michael has, Michael has been, every time, you know, personally we have conversations about housing or all that stuff, he always comes back to that same question, Vic, why is it so inexpensive to buy a house in Nevada or Las Vegas? And, you know, I was thinking, too, I imagine some of that probably has to do with the whole gambling industry out there, because the more,
of course,
you know, the more people they can get out there, that probably bodes well for that industry. So I imagine you don't want to make housing out there too high or too expensive, because you kind of want the people there to be a part of the whole, you know, gambling industry,
of
which
course
is pretty big out there. Yeah, but it is amazing, because something that, you know, that someone on the East Coast would pay for a house, I mean, you take that exact same salary or money that you're making in there, you know, you can have like twice the size of the house, a swimming pool in the backyard, and, you know, yard for the kids.
Well, exactly.
And the
I mean, some of these homes are like, you know, 4,000 square feet that are going for $177,000
yes
with a pool and jacuzzi and the wine cellar. It's just like, what am I doing wrong?
But then don't forget, you have to deal with the heat that's out there as well.
Well, true, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so that's a compromise.
And you know, also too, I'm thinking about who knows what the taxes would be also on something like that as well. But Gretchen too, inside the chat room, had a question. I think Gretchen, you may have missed this, because LaSalle talked about this earlier in the show. She wanted to know if the housing market was improving, and you said yes, it is improving. No need
definitely
to despair.
Yes, it
right
is definitely improving, Gretchen. I was explaining to Michael and Victoria, you know, not to worry. Of course, the rate of recovery, it just depends on the area in which you live. But I know in the Maryland area, especially Prince George's County, we're seeing home prices increasing. We're seeing homes being sold quickly. They're no longer sitting on the market for long periods of time. That's because buyers are coming in and snatching them up quickly. And then, of course, I also mentioned what is causing these factors is the low interest rates that mortgage companies are now offering to first-time home buyers. So,
you know, go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry, Lisa. I hate to go ahead and cut it out. Let's just segue a little bit, because, again, with watching these shows.
Okay.
Give me
I'm ready.
Top five most common mistakes first time home buyers make, because I seem to see a lot of recovery. You know, skipping a home inspection, never a good thing.
Never.
Yeah.
Another mistake that I've noticed home buyers make is that when I meet first-time home buyers, the first thing they tell me is that I want a foreclosed property, we're going to lowball, you know, we're going to negotiate back and forth. And I just sit there and I'm thinking to myself, I laugh, because I'm like, wow, this is really a first-time home buyer. So please, you need to be more realistic. I tell my home buyers that they need to be more realistic of the market, especially this market that we're in Maryland, particularly in the Prince George's County area. You can't go in with a lowball offer. If you do, you really don't want the house, because
right
there are five other buyers who are coming in there with offers at list price or above list price because they really want the house. Another mistake that I think first-time home buyers do is that they don't actually speak with their agent about what they actually want in a house, so that, you know, the agent could better assess their situation and explain to them what their budget can buy. Because I have clients who've come to me with about a reasonable budget of between $150,000 and $200,000, and they'll tell me they want a single-family home that is no more than 10 years old with a two-car garage, four-bedroom, three-bedroom. I've had those
right
conversations, and I'm sitting there,
a
you know,
a swimming pool and a tennis court,
yeah,
and I need a place for my in-laws when they come on the side of the house.
For
yeah
$56,000.
Right.
So, yes, exactly. So at that point, you know, I have to definitely manage the expectations and say, you know, well, we mightn't be able to get this, but we could definitely get a townhome, you know, that will, you know, fit all your needs. Another mistake is that they don't want to do the home inspection. They want to, you know, they want to save money, because home inspections are expensive. They usually are between $350 to $450. And I tell my home buyers, absolutely not. You know, we are definitely doing the home inspection, because if you buy this house and there are issues with this house, the first person you are calling is me, because then you're going to ask me why it enforced you to have a home inspection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, first
And you know
what?
I think, too, the home inspection just gives, the home inspection to me, at least when we sold our vacation home, it gives you more levy to work with when you go and you try to sell it. So then you can actually tell this person, hey, we've had a home inspection of this house. Here's the report. Take a look at it for yourself. You know, this is fine. This is fine. So I just feel like that would give a buyer who's interested in buying your house peace of mind also that you have had a home inspection.
Exactly. Yes, I totally agree. And then last tip. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. No,
sorry,
no, go. Keep going. Seriously, no, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, good stuff.
Another thing I also experience with my home buyers, another mistake they make is that they tend to be very impatient with the home buying process. Like once we've gone on the contract and they're working with their lender, I cannot tell you how many first-time home buyers have called me and complained to me about their lender that, you know, they're asking for too many documents. I already sent them these tax forms, you know, why they're asking for it again. And I have to explain to them, you know, these lenders, they're giving you approximately $250,000 to buy a house.
Right.
Now, when your best friend borrows $100 from you, I'm sure within the next 2 days you are calling them asking them for money.
Where's my money?
Yeah, so then I'm like, so imagine you're lending somebody $200,000.
Right.
You'll probably ask for some blood as collateral or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, right, right. You want a kidney, an arm, and leg. I need
exactly.
some blood work done. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And it's funny because I'm looking inside the chat room, and Gretchen, too, says that she wants to move from Indiana to Nevada. So I don't know, Gretchen, if you're seriously considering that. But certainly if you've got any other questions, I know LaSalle would be more than happy to try to help you out or answer the best that she can. So just email me, and I'll try to forward it if you've got any more questions. But, you know, something, too, that that is always difficult for me to watch all of the sort of house shows on HGTV. My sweetheart loves that stuff. I'm not really into it. I'd rather watch Law and Order, but he loves it because we've got, you know, a few properties. So he likes to get ideas and all this stuff for our house and the properties, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, it's difficult for me to watch that because this gets back to people managing their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a couple that will go into a house. And, you know what the budget is. Let's say it's $250,000. And then it's generally I find – now, don't send me all these bad, crazy emails, folks. Generally, I find the women are so picky. So I tend to yell back at the television because I think some of the things that they may point out in the house, it's so small and it's so – you know, obscure that it could be like the knobs on the cabinet in the kitchen. It's like, go to Home Depot and just get some freaking new knobs and then put them on there. That's not going to cost you a lot of money. So it's hard for me to watch that because I feel like there's so much nitpicking going on that I just want to yell at these people.
Okay, but Victoria, you have to remember it's a TV show, so we have to
yeah,
create drama.
Right.
We need people
right.
like you to stay tuned to yell at the television.
I know.
It be boring
you
if
would
you
think,
somebody was
and,
like, I
and,
love everything
and,
in the house?
And it's funny, you would think that you wouldn't have to tell me that because I've been a television news anchor for 18 years and I still do it, so I know what producers want in drama, but I get caught up in it, and I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. These people are irritating me. Just, you know, just stop thinking that you can get a pool and all this stuff with that little money that you have.
Oh, wait,
but,
are there, then there's these people who are my absolute favorites, and this is, and please, I don't want emails on this either because this is going to be a judgment, but there are these, you know, the granola types. Like, I like watching the ones in Toronto who want a fix, a little fixer-upper. They want something like from 1930s, and they have a minimal budget, and they're, you know, she's pregnant, and then so they,
right.
but they want an open concept with granite countertops. They start tearing stuff
right.
apart. It's like knob and tube wiring, the copper piping. The, basically, they
right.
spend $300,000. You know, it's just, you could have just bought new construction. So, those,
yeah,
you know, I'm sorry, but that makes me giggle.
No, but that's the thing. I think that's when you can really tell a first-time home buyer because they have no idea of the cost involved in remodeling a bathroom or remodeling a kitchen
yeah.
or pulling down a wall or something like
yeah.
that. So, you know, and that's when I said that's the job of the realtor to give them a reality check and say, you know what, let's just buy a newer house because the amount of money you're going to spend on updating this house you might as well just buy a house that's in better condition and move in ready. And they also forget that there's hassle involved in remodeling a house. Because I remember when my husband and I remodeled the kitchen, thank God we had an awesome contractor, and he did it in a week. But we were miserable for that week. We didn't have a stove, a refrigerator. Remember, we kept our stuff in a cooler with ice. I mean, it's miserable.
We redid our home all. We did the kitchen, the living room, the hallway, and the bathroom all at the same time. Never again. I was just in the corner rocking back and forth, crying, you know, quietly. It was just like I was eating microwave food on subfloor. Oh my Lord.
Isn't it miserable?
You're like, help me. Well, actually now the flip side of that argument that you guys just mentioned, for me, pretty much once, and Michael knows this, once a year, and it's generally in the fall, because my darling is a doctor and we live in a resort area, so summers are very busy for him. We always pick one project, one room or something in the house that we're going to do to remodel, just to keep things fresh. So for me, the cool thing about it is that he's gotten so good and so skilled at doing things. So he just redid. I have my own bathroom. He just redid my bathroom, and Michael saw it. And he did a wonderful job. He put down new flooring and paint and lighting fixtures and everything, and got the shower blasted and everything. But normally I think that project probably would have taken him like a month and a half to 2 months. But he's gotten so good at doing this construction stuff. I kid you not, within 3 or 4 weeks I was back in that bathroom. There was only a few little things that he needed to do. So the good thing is that when we do construction here, he's just gotten really good at doing the construction, that the projects just don't take long. Like my flooring downstairs, Michael, you've been to my house.
He does great work, seriously.
Yeah, he did the refloors in the living room, the kitchen, and I mean, and it's pretty big down on my first floor. But I remember when he started that, hearing the nail gun at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But other than that, I have to say, for me, it really hasn't been a bad, you know, bad experience. I do want to mention that NJPAI says that I think I was a relatively calm first-time home buyer compared to some of the horror stories, I guess, that we've seen on television and that we're talking about. But listen, Michael, we're actually running out of time with
this young
lady, LaSalle. LaSalle, here's the thing you have to understand. When you come on At Home with Victoria, as you can tell, Michael and I basically fight for time with our guests. So
we're very competitive.
Can you tell that? We basically fight each other for questions and time. So try to promise me this. When your show airs, and we'll promote it and let everybody know when we have our shows here and on Facebook, when your show airs, can you come back on again?
Definitely,
because then we would have seen
definitely.
It.
Definitely. I feel like you guys are my two BFFs now.
Well, we
are.
I love it. But
yeah.
Michael
and I have a sort of different concept. We tell people when you come on our show, really, we do want you to feel at home. And believe it or not, I am a real journalist. I'm not your traditional type of journalist, but I am a actual real journalist with the National Press Club that have a degree and been a news anchor for 18 years. And I started this show because I wanted to have people like you and other people on without commercials that can really be relaxed and, you know, have the time in an informative and fun way to talk about the housing market and all of that good stuff. So Michael, I guess you like us, right? You'll come back, right?
Of course.
Absolutely. I want to ask Lisa, just tell us exactly where we can find you. I know you're on Facebook and stuff. And you work for Taylor Realty?
Yes, I am on Facebook, just Lisa L. Taylor, Realtor. You can also call me on 301-744-7653. And, of course, if any of your guests want some more information on home buying tips, I have a free consultation guide that I would love to give to them so they can email me for the information. And my email address is LiselleTaylor, all one word, at kw.com.
Fantastic.
Okay. And, Liselle, can you do me a favor? Although you and I have connected on Gmail, send me that other email address so I'll have it handy. If people email me, then I can just give that directly
to
them. Michael,
of course.
This has been really good. So, you know, we've been off the air for a couple of months, so you're our first guest and interview back on since we've been back on.
And I feel very honored. So thank you for the opportunity again. And I am looking forward to coming back on the air when my show is ready to air on April 17th on House Hunters.
Brilliant. And when you come back, I want to make fun of all the House Hunters International people, those people that go ahead and walk into this 15,000-year-old castle, and she walks in and she says, I don't know, is that crack going to be a problem? It's like, woman, it's been standing for 1,200 years, believe me. Just pee in the corner like everybody else.
Right, and you know what? And you want to say, lady, and when you die, I hate to say, it's probably still going to be standing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so that crack is not going to go anywhere at all. Lisel, you have been so much fun, and I'm so glad that you pushed me, and it was well worth the wait to have you on. And I know that our listeners love you, and I'm looking forward to you coming back on. So you and I will nail down the date. We'll get it in the computer, and we'll continue to promote the show. And God bless. And Michael always gives everybody this little spiel when they leave. So, Michael, you go ahead. You're better.
Just remember, At Home with Victoria is your home too, Liesl. So feel to come back with anything you've got to offer.
I will. And thanks again for having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you guys soon.
Thanks,
Liesl. All right,
you
darling. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Michael,
no problem.
You do that so much better than me.
Well, thank you so much. I'm learning how to talk slower after our little indie awards. A charming lady.
We're going to talk
information
about that.
Fantastic.
But did she not have really good information, and it was fun?
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, no. That's just fun.
I know. I really like that. Actually, I'm very happy to see that she did say that we should not despair, that, you know, the housing industry is rebounding. So that was actually really good. So what's coming up next? What do we have next?
Well, coming up next, I have in the hopper here, Mr. Steve Silverman's up in holding for us. So I'm very, very excited to go ahead and welcome him to the show again. But before we do that, Drew Stevens actually is a constant friend of At Home with Victoria, and he actually did a copy of the Gumdrop song. So I thought to welcome Steve Silverman back to the show, good friend, creative genius, all that stuff. Let's open with the Gumdrop song. So this is Drew Stevens singing Brett Silverman's Gumdrop song. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, Gumdrop.
Tell your brother it's a brilliantly written song. Still, it's timeless. It's like Coco Chanel. Welcome to the show, Steve.
It never gets old, does it?
It never gets old.
I love so many people because I can't tell you, I think that the thing that I always get told about Pretty over and over, and I love it, is people go, God, that damn song is stuck in my damn head. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's an earworm for people, and when they're trying to go to bed at night, that's all they hear over and over is Gumdrop the Unicorn.
Oh, and that's so sweet.
And Pretty, the series, has done so well for you. Multi-award winning, brilliant, brilliant writing, brilliant acting. The cast is charming and everything. I want to do a little quiz with you a little bit later, but all good. Seriously, I'm all pretty that way. But before we start talking about the end, I want us all to go ahead and talk about the Indie Self Awards in New York City, the New World Stages. Roger Newcomb, Damon Jacobs, and Kevin Mulcahy, a brilliant production put on at the fourth annual. Steve, you've been there for all 4 years, correct?
I've been there for three. There was an initial year that was done for a very small audience. I think it was like 5 or 10 of them were invited to be there because they actually shot it in somebody's living room.
Wow.
And, in the very beginnings, it had a very, you know, very meager beginning to the awards. And then they jumped that second year. You know, that's where we first actually met face-to-face. And they took a giant jump, and then the third year, and then this year. And, I mean, the favorite part for me, I have to say, is that there were pre-parties this year. And so at the second pre-party, you guys made it to that pre-party, and I got to meet for the first time Victoria.
Right.
Yay.
Yay. And what I loved, and I told her this too, is my good friend Victoria, who I can probably say this on the air, she had a drink in her. So her reporter articulate voice was gone, and like her fun voice was on, and it was almost like the Ravina version of Victoria. So I kind of loved it. Like you were just we were hugging and kissing and talking, and you're like,
she can get Ravina. She can also go a little ghetto Tyra too. So it's
yeah,
kind of funny.
I can do a little and plus my other hidden talent, Michael knows that I do a very good job at rapping. I'm a good rapper. But listen, Michael, you've got to do a little 411 for people who don't know who Steve Silverman is. Can you give everybody the 411?
I think I know this man well enough.
I think you can do it.
Yeah. Steve Silverman, formerly creative director of Fox. I like to go ahead and call him that. Creator of the best series called Pretty the Series, which is a mockumentary on the toddlers and tiaras. If you haven't checked it out, please check it out at www.prettytheseries.com. Brilliantly writing, and the man is kind. The man is, you know what? Let's segue into your little taking care of dog things. Both you and Jim Canella are a great fan of The Rescue, which I want to go ahead and, if you haven't heard this before, thank you for all of your efforts. It's your undying
devotion,
diligence,
love,
absolutely
animals.
Diligence,
yeah.
and just by keeping it up. So talk a bit about that.
I sound amazing. Jim and I are very passionate about animals. I started with, you know, I had a dog and a cat, and then he had a cat, and we moved in together, and then we added another rescue dog, and then we kept fostering dogs and working with shelters and stuff, and we would foster several dogs. Like, one of our favorite dogs, Riley, wound up being our next-door neighbor's dog because I talked them into taking him, and he's like, they just celebrated their 1 year with him. They wrote us a note going, oh, my God, here's a shot, and we can't believe it's a year. And so we've done a bunch of dogs. And then this past September, we took in a little puppy named Mason, who we named him that. His name was Dandy, which was the funniest name ever. They named him Dandy at the shelter. They found him in a field, and he was such a monster. And we weren't going to keep him. We were, you know, because the thing with fostering is you can't keep. You got to know that they're meant to be with somebody else. And we already had two dogs and two cats. And so we gave Dandy to Mason, to his new foster family, and then 2 days later decided that we couldn't live without him. And I literally, not 5 minutes ago, I'm sweaty and out of breath, I literally just took Hazel and Mason for a walk, came back, got Hubie, and took Mason and Hubie for a walk. And Hazel and Hubie, the older ones, they are out like lights, and Mason is in the backyard walking around, smelling things. He's endless energy, and this is the funniest thing. Last night at one point at like 9 o'clock, he just jumped on the couch and just collapsed on this pillow and closed his eyes, and me and Jim looked at each other like a kid, you know, like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything, and he just started snoring, and we're like, okay, good. But no, he was out. I've worked a lot. I work with the Palm Springs Animal Shelter. I work with the Burbank Animal Shelter. I've done a lot of philanthropic stuff, and it stems from my old beginnings of working. I worked 7 years for the American Cancer Society. I worked 2.5, 3 years for United Way. And I just really believe that, you know, especially with these animals, no one is their voice. So if I can be their voice, if I can help place them, I can't tell you, like, the greatest feeling in the world when, you know, when I was at the Palm Springs Animal Shelter and somebody comes in and they took home, one of the ladies I met took home this little puppy named Lou, who's the cutest boy in the world. And just my heart was so happy. And it's pretty great. You know, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
You can't get bogged down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's this kind of joy, this kind of joy that, you know, if you're a pet lover, then totally you get it. You understand it, that it's just like, oh, it's just like the greatest joy in the world. And speaking of great joy, so, of course, like Steve said, we got a chance to hang out in the Indie Awards and all of that good stuff. And one thing that actually struck me about the Indie Awards that I just sort of heard people talk about was just how it's growing and how it started out sort of in this small sort of space, and now the space continuously gets larger and larger. And also, our very own Dee Freeman won an award this year.
Right.
Yeah, it finally.
Right.
The Pretty Cast was honored 2 years in a row, the previous years, with the best ensemble. The first year, they were the best ensemble of a dramedy or comedy. And last year, they separated everything out, so we took it home for the second year in a row as an ensemble. And then this year, I didn't want to win things 2 and 3 years in a row. I really feel the baton has to be passed around.
Man.
But I had this weird feeling, and Dee and I met and had some dinner before the show, and I told her, do you have an acceptance speech prepared? And she said, no. And I said, well, you should. And she goes, oh, no, you know, every year they always say that. I never win. And I just felt it. And when they announced her name, that's, and you guys were, Michael was seated, you know, 2 feet down from me.
I was thrilled, yeah.
The look on her face,
mm-hmm.
and the look of like, oh, my God. And she got up there, and then afterwards she said to me, oh, my God, I gave the shittiest speech. I said, no, you gave a real speech. But she's like, she got up there, and she said, I couldn't think of anything. All I kept thinking was, holy crap, it finally happened.
But Steve, you remember exactly what she said when she accepted her award.
She thanked the cast, which was great, and then she thanked me, which was really wonderful. And we've been very good friends for a very long time. I've known her since 1998 or 1999. We've always been there. She did a play of mine.
I thought she was going to cry. Steve, well, since you know her so well, you can probably answer this. I felt at one second that she was going to cry, because I almost started crying. But
well,
she took a pause, and she started, and then she made a joke about the airline thing that got her out of it, because I really thought she was going to cry for a second.
I think so. She might have been. I do know she's a very emotional person. I think she's definitely had, you know, it's been a really interesting year for a lot of people I know, a lot of transitioning going on. It's something with the universe and all that going on, you know, even for me. And she's definitely been through a transition. And I think for her, good things come to those who wait. And after 3 seasons and all the work she did and all the adventures we had together, and we're really, I mean, one thing I'll tell you about me and the Pretty Cast, we were together so much. I'm really honest with them, and I'm really, you can ask them, I'm really honest, at times too honest. And she and I got into it a few times, but in a good way, in a creative way.
Yeah.
And there were times where I had to say, no, that's not what the, no. And she'd say, yes, that's what she think. And I'd say, no, I'm the writer. I think I know what she think. But that's part of the process we go through. So it's just, it's kind of that, it's always more exciting for me to see people take something that I give them, a piece of clay, and mold it into something beautiful, and then to get recognized for the work that we did collectively. It's really great.
Right.
Really
great.
Yeah. It was really, the whole ceremony was great. It was really fun to see everybody, and it's a great excuse for us all to go to New York, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
And just for those who don't know, Dee Freeman finished up her speech actually saying that she was going to leave the airlines and actually return back to acting in Los Angeles. And she had this revelation while serving a guest on the – I can't mention the airline because they would be sued. And she basically went up to the fellow and she says, would you like something to drink? And the fellow said – and she's saying this on stage in front of all the award winners. And she says, would you like a drink? And the guy says, well, what are my choices? She says, yes or no. That, I thought, was really, really so genius. And I love Dee. Actually, I talked to Dee today. She wanted to go ahead and call in tonight, but she's actually in the air right now flying over Chattanooga. So she won't be able to go ahead and join us tonight. But Vic, your first year at the Indie Soap Awards, granted, Steve is talking about the second annual, where it was actually held in a dance studio, I believe, on the second or third floor. I couldn't find it for a little while. There was about 60 people. And so this year, Vic, seeing its magnitude, because, I mean, Steve, what was there, like maybe 1,500, 2,000 people, do you think?
I think I'm going to be nice and tell you going way high. I think the theater seats 400. But it was packed, and there were people who didn't. There was probably 500 people, but several people waited in the lobby because a lot of we love it. I mean, we're so blessed, all of us, that we have fans out there who come out for stuff and want to meet us and talk with us. And some of them didn't have tickets; they just came to hang in the lobby, and they let them hang in the lobby, which is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a great crowd. That was one of the things I was really happy about. The first year at the Alvin Ailey, when there was like 60, 75 people, you're right. They didn't sell any tickets to the fans. And I talked to Roger and Damon. I said, God, get us some fans there because, you know, we're all our own audience. And, of course, we're all clapped for each other. But you can feel it in the room. I mean, like, when, like, just certain shows that the fans of that show were there. There were fans of Prick There. There were fans of Divanity and Anacostia.
Mm-hmm.
And when their people get up there, there's the screams of and the applause of the people in the production, but then you heard the fans.
And, you know, I have to say, too, sort of being I kind of had this sort of out-of-body experience when we were done, and I was sitting all the way in the back, actually, at the top, where the soundboard was, and I didn't know what to expect or how I was going to feel, but I had a conversation with Michael when it was over, and that was that I was so excited every single time you guys came up in the name Pretty and D or whatever, Michael, whoever was being nominated. I was literally like a freaking kid in the candy store, and I was crossing my fingers and in my head saying, oh, please, 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 they have to win, they have to win, they have to win. So even for me, I mean, it was like nail-biting, and just to have that experience to actually hear the show that you want to win, that you're there to support, and that they actually win. It's like, you know, so for me, that was like my little mini Oscar. So I was like, I can't imagine what it's like for people that actually do the Grammys and the Oscars and that stuff. I mean, it was a really fun experience for me to sit back there and to be a part of it.
It also has there's a great camaraderie among all of us. There's no one who doesn't like each other. There's no, you know, there's no snobbery, there's no clique, there's no in-crowd and out-crowd. It's one giant group, because the thing about it is all the independent creators of web series. There's no, I'm being kind here, there's no Yahoo sponsors, there's no Comedy
Central
Presents.
That's very true, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. all of us who are down in the trenches who, I mean, everyone always like, We're spending our own money, and we're working with our own friends, and 9 out of 10 of these productions, we're actually all friends. When you meet the group, of course, I mean, who else is going to come doing Pretty in the Inn when I'm offering you $100 a day? No one in their right mind. So my friend.
Right.
So that's what's great. Right. When you meet Anthony Anderson and the whole Anacostia group, you meet this collective of people who grew up with each other. He's known so many of them his whole life, and they're just so proud to be part of a community that they have themselves, along with the rest of us, created. And it's really amazing. I give Kevin, Roger, and Damon a lot of credit for dreaming this up and for really going bold and being big about it. So it's great. And it's on a Broadway stage, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
how
exactly.
good is that?
Yeah, no.
Great.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead. Let's break this up, because I'm out of wine, so I have to go get more wine. But we're going to go ahead and play Drew Stevens' My Waking Eyes, which is actually in episode, I believe, 2 of The Inn, good friend of At Hope Miss Victoria. When we get back, let's talk about the electricity that being at the Indie Awards is, and then talk about The Inn. So don't go away. This is Drew Stevens' My Waking Eyes. You're listening to At Home with Victoria on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Back with more from Steve Silverman when we get back. with My Waking Eyes. You can go ahead and check him out at www.drewstevens, S-T-E-V-Y-N-S, music.com. The Inn, Steve Silverman, was creepy, very Hitchcockian, a nice departure from the comedy. There are so many things I want to ask you about The Inn, including the setting of The Inn was actually Denise Alexander's home.
Yes.
Or vacation home. And I found the history behind this sitting at the breakfast table in the Odyssey quite fantastic. So the home is actually part of a big commune?
Denise and her husband own a huge piece of land up in Ojai. And it's actually a state-run the road that goes through the property is state-owned. And so it's actually a wildlife refuge. There's peacocks.
Wow.
There's peacocks and burrows and wild horses and all sorts of things up there. And there's a home that called the Dent House that Richard fell in love with, her husband, and he had it moved into the space from quite a distance, and took apart the home, put in all the pipes for all the water and the electricity and the gas, and he re-put the house back together. And then the children of these people who own this original home, which is from like 1908, they came and saw what Richard and Denise had done and how they moved their grandparents' home. They took out of all these paintings and all this furniture, and they let Richard and Denise have everything back in the house. So pretty much 50% of the house, you'd have to ask Denise how much, but a lot of the house is the original stuff.
Wow.
That you're seeing. So it's a really cool space, and when I was writing The Inn, I pictured it in my mind, and then when I asked Denise to take a look at the script and consider playing Lola, the caveat was, you play Lola, but you let us come film up at the Dent House, and she was hesitant, and I don't blame her, because you're talking about bringing, like, we brought like 25 people up there, cast and crew, and we're going to wreck the place, you know, and
right.
Everything that's all, you know, muddy shoes and all the stuff that you bring through. Luckily, nothing broke. We didn't do anything. It's Richard. Richard's a director and a film person himself. He was thrilled we were up there. It was his dream come true. He kept saying, I want people to film up here. I want people to see this house. So hopefully he'll still think that. He'll let other people film there, and hopefully someday he'll let me film there again.
Yeah. It's a great place to film, because it's super creepy. I'm sorry.
It's super creepy. It's authentic. It's real. You'll see so much more of it. I purposely studied. I studied Hitchcock in college, but then I purposely looked at a lot of his films. And you're going to see in season 2 and season 3 that we're going to start pulling the camera out a little bit and showing you more and more of the house. I want people to feel, the thing I keep getting, which I love, people go, God, this show makes me feel so uncomfortable. That's the best word you could use, because that's what we want. We want you to be creeped out. We want you to question whether any of this is really happening or she's nuts. It's a really fun little tale, and we're going to be back in June with 5 new episodes. We're very excited about that, and we're cutting as we
speak.
Yeah.
And Steve, I wanted to ask you, is it easier to do the episodes are what, no more than two or 3 minutes, or is it that long?
They range 3 to 5 minutes, yeah.
Okay, 3 to 5 minutes. Well, is it easier to do smaller episodes like that in a consecutive series to tell the story, or compared to that of Pretty? What are the good and the bad with that?
It's a much different cutting process. I mean, production-wise, The Inn was a dream, because it was seven actors, and Pretty was 26 actors. There's a lot of scheduling you got to go through. And then editing-wise, Pretty is very fast. When you watch it, that's very fast cuts, very comedies, fast and furious, and works best, in my opinion, that way. And what I had to tell Nicole was, slow down, even though these are 3 minutes. When you watch The Inn, you'll see there's a lot of reaction. There's a lot of time. Let it breathe. Let people take it in. And it's just different. You know, for me, everyone said, you know, why did you do this? Why did you do this? We want more Pretty. I needed a break. I needed a pretty break. And I'm so happy that people have come on board, and it's being watched a lot. And I appreciate everybody who's watched it, tweeted it, posted it, told their friends. And we're having fun.
Yeah. Steve, a lot of people go ahead and suggest that comedy is harder to write than drama. What's your take? Do you buy into that?
I don't know if comedy's harder to write than drama. I'll tell you, comedy's harder to act than drama,
true.
I think, for actors. I mean, I could teach either one of you how to deliver, not that you couldn't. I could teach you very quickly, I could direct you very quickly on how to deliver a dramatic monologue, because I can go right for your emotion and say, apply this emotion to it now, do it. But as a comedy, you got to either have the comedy chops or you don't.
Right.
And I was so blessed with the Pretty cast because they have it. So there's people who are, you know, inherently funny and understand timing and all that. And drama, anybody, I'm not saying anybody can do it, but it's a lot simpler emotion to get to than comedy.
Yeah. We also have a clip. And you know what? I'm so thrilled to go ahead and introduce this. Please thank Nicole for me, Steve, because this is so neat to go ahead and have this. But this is actually a clip from in the series. Set it up for us, Steve.
Oh, this is from the season finale episode that just went up on Monday. Jane has been in the woods, and she met the little boy she's met already. She's not sure if he's real or a ghost. And then she is surprised by another figure who appears and vanishes, and then this happens.
Then this happens. Hold on.
The front door was locked, so I went around to see if there was a back door, and that's where I saw the red ball.
Go on.
I heard laughter, a child laughing, so I went down the path, and that's where I found him. The boy, the same boy that I saw when I got here yesterday. He was hiding. He said this was his hiding place where he hid from Teddy.
That's what he said?
Yes.
That's what he said. He said he was hiding from Teddy. He specifically used Teddy's name.
I may have said Teddy. I assumed it was Teddy because it's his place.
All right, go on.
He told me that I shouldn't be there again. And then I heard something, and I turned to see what it was, and when I turned back, he was gone. And that's when he grabbed me.
The man?
Yes.
Can you tell me what he looked like?
No, I told you. It happened too fast.
You're face to face with a man who grabs you, and you can't tell me what he looks like.
He scared me. It startled me. I blinked, and he was gone.
Creepy.
That was, just so everybody knows, that's the two-time Emmy-winning brilliant woman known as Crystal Chappelle, and playing opposite Sheriff Riggs there, Chuck Sloan. Nothing makes me laugh harder than all the responses we get on Twitter and Facebook and all those places, and all these people hate him. They hate the sheriff, and that makes me really, really happy that they hate him so much. So,
because that was the intent. I mean, was that your intent, that's what you wanted?
Oh. Yeah, I wanted you to. He right now should be the good guy. He's the sheriff of the town, but he comes off like the bad guy, and that's the fun of our show, is you don't really know who's good and who's bad, and it's funny because there's so many Crystal Chappelle fans out there, and they have a real visceral reaction to anyone doing anything negative to Crystal, and I have to keep explaining, it's not her. She's just playing a character.
Don't pretend.
Well, you know, Steve, you know, something about her, too, and when I've been watching the episodes, you know, I don't know what your process was in terms of who you wanted to cast for that, if you went through a bunch of people, but Crystal really, really fits the part. She's got this sort of look on her face where you're wondering, is she up to no good? Did something just happen to her? I mean, she really has that look. I can't really describe it. You know what look I'm talking about? She's got that look on her face to me.
Crystal is a brilliant actress, and she smolders. She has these eyes that can do amazing things. And we work with that. If you go watch episode 3, we have her look directly into the camera a few times when the window keeps opening and closing on her. And the process of this is there was a different actress completely all set up to do it, and she bowed out on me because she got another project, and then we were working to try to get all these different people, and all these names came up. And then I just thought of, I was going through a list of names, and I came up with Crystal, who I've known a long time ago, and I sent her a note and said, would you be willing to read this? She read it and sent me an email 24 hours later and said, I'd love to, call me. And she was game for anything. I think for her, You know, she's the executive producer, creator, writer, star of Venice, the series, and The Grove. And I think for her, and she said this, so I can speak for her, it was really fun for her to just act. And she didn't have to think about anything but acting. And I don't know how some of these people like Anthony Anderson and Michael Caruso and some of these other people who star in their own shows, who write their own shows, who produce their own shows and direct their own shows, I don't know how they do it because, trust me, I'm writer, director, executive, producer, and I can't even think sometimes. Like, it's so funny. We have a joke on both the pretty set and the inset where I tell whoever the AD is, remember, I say this, remember to remind me to drink water and to eat something. And they laugh thinking I'm kidding. But Heidi Moore, who's producer and was my AD basically on Preba, producer of The Inn, she used to just walk right up to me and go, hand me water. And it was open. I would just start drinking. And like it was almost like, and she'd hand me like a little cup filled with, you know, potato chips. And I would just eat. I'd start laughing because she's like, she remembered me saying that because I don't get how they do it. So for Crystal, very fun time I think she had just being able to act. And we had a ball together.
Yeah, I have to say, just to hand it to Crystal too, Venice was a brilliant show and so well produced. Now it's a subscription series. You actually have to purchase to watch it, which I find interesting. But I'm going to go ahead and make a segue here. Steve, you've worked with a lot of guest stars on Pretty and The Inn. And I kind of wanted to do this thing. I was watching Cinemax in 60 Seconds with the cast of Pitch Perfect. I know you watched Pitch Perfect recently, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. Absolutely. But let's do this. In one word, I'm going to give you the guest star. In one word, you're just going to describe the person. How's that?
Great.
Denise Alexander.
Mother. She is to me.
Jennifer
Lee. I mean that the best way possible. Mother.
Absolutely. Jennifer Elise Cox.
Oh, Jen, my God. Jen, fearless.
Fantastic.
That's good.
Absolutely. Madeline Long.
Again, fearless. Madeline, the word I use for Madeline is, and she would never think this of herself, is just positive. She radiates positivity.
Yeah, from The Bridesmaids. I hope they make The Bridesmaids too, but David May.
The word I want to say is hot. The word I probably should say. No, the word I probably should say is I don't know how to say it. A new, bright, shiny. He glows. Mm-hmm. That boy glows.
Yeah,
and
fresh.
When you meet him fresh, if you ever meet him, it's like he's got that aura thing.
Yeah. One of my favorite KTLA newscasters, Ally McKay.
Hysterical. I mean, she's just
hysterical. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I would say hysterical. Yeah.
She's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Larry Mickelson.
Larry Michelson.
Michelson, sorry.
Michelson. Understated is the word. I've known Larry. He's one of Stacey's best friends. They went to high school and college together, and he's an incredible talent. You don't even get a touch of what that boy can do. He is
really.
He's amazing. He is amazing.
Allison
really?
Quinn.
That's interesting.
From Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO, Allison Quinn.
I'm going to use the word bridesmaid, and she'll know why I said that if she's listening to this. And it's not for the movie. She has a brilliant one-woman show about being a bridesmaid at her father's wedding and his remarriage. And it's brilliant. Yeah, so bridesmaid for her.
Fantastic. One of my favorite from Reba, Melissa Peterman.
I would say the word friend because she, like I will get emotional if I talk about it. She has, she's a friend. She's a good, good, good person. I've told this before, I'll tell you real quick. She has flown herself in every time. She's been on vacation every, she has a home back home in Minnesota. We always film when she's in Minnesota. She always flies in. We tell her the time and the date and she flies herself in. She will She's one of the funniest people I've ever known, and I am so happy just to know her. She's a good friend.
Well, Christian. And you know, Michael, before you continue on, I just wanted to put in there, well, since he mentioned her name, you know, you were very kind enough to get her to come on our show.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, she was thrilled to. This woman, we've known each other for so long, and anytime I call her with anything and I say, hey, you should do this, she goes, okay, tell me, what do I have to do? And there's there's no agents or managers or publicists. It's me texting her directly or calling her. And she says, okay, great, what do I have to do? And there's countless projects you guys have never heard of and will never see that we've filmed and done on stage and done readings of. And she went with me on a pitch meeting one time. She wasn't even attached to the project, but I said, will you just go with me and I'll just say you're attached? And she's like, yeah, let's go.
Right.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That was a really funny one.
Go
ahead, Mike.
One of my favorites, the girl who gives me the oogies the most on Pretty is Kristen Vangsness, who I now watch her show, Criminal Minds, because of Pretty.
Aw, she's a giant glowing bubble. She's just a bubble. She's just
Is she happy in person, her personality that she plays on Criminal Minds? Because I actually knew her from Criminal Minds, so when Michael said that we were going to get her, I mean, like I was over the moon running around in my house saying, oh, my God, I love her. I watch her on the show. I mean, like, that was really big for me, Steve, to let you know that you got her on our show, because I'm obsessed with Criminal Minds and Law and Order. So that was my experience in knowing who she was. So I told Michael, I was like, dude, I was like, you have got to watch her on there. But she seemed so happy and perky on Criminal Minds. So is that a little bit of what we see on there, how she is for real?
I would say yes. I don't know how she would consider herself. I always say about Kirsten, she is the same girl she's always been. And I mean that positive-wise and negative-wise. Like I'm the same boy I've always been. We were in the same theater company together, and she did one of my very first plays out here, and she stepped in at the very last minute for an actress who stepped out of the part, and she's just a tremendous talent, and we used to have this thing called Soup Night, where we were both, a whole group of us didn't have very much money, and you'd bring a can of soup over and make it on her stove, and then we'd all just trade soup, and you had to get there early or you'd get no soup. people are
fake. I love the starving artist stories.
And it's the truth. It's the truth.
How cute.
Absolutely.
You guys didn't have money, and all you had was soup.
I got two more names. Jeannie Francis.
She's a legend. I mean, she's
yeah,
everything
legend,
you want her to
period.
Be. She's class act. She's everything you want her to be. The one thing I would say about Jeannie is that Jeannie doesn't particularly think herself a funny person, and she was fantastic. Just she's the real deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. We had her on the show, and she was charming beyond belief. My last one absolutely is the one who has garnered the most audience participation for Home with Victoria, with over 675,000 listens, was Miss Joan Van Ark.
Can you believe that? Steve, still to this day, I mean, I find it so amazing. Out of all the people that you have been kind enough to send us and all, we've done over 250 shows. Joan Van Ark still holds
breaks
the title of the most listened to shows on our network. It amazes me.
She is, in a word, the truth. The word I would use, there are two words I would use. I'd either use diva, or I would use the word Joan Van Ark, because I joke and she knows she does it. She will talk about herself in the third person, and there's nothing greater than having a conversation with a human being who, when you ask them a question, their response is, well, Joan Van Ark thinks, and you're like, actually, you are. Okay.
You are.
Yeah. She is. People don't know that she's classically trained. She has a master's. She went to Yale, and she got a master's from Yale in acting, and she studied Meisner, and she let us makeup her up, hair her up, and I will dare to say, and people have said this, when you see her on Pretty, we did a damn good job of making her look like $4.50, as Mr. Michael would
say. Absolutely.
And she was the best. It was a thrill. It was an honor. And she is the real, real deal. I've listened to her do other shows, and they bring up Pretty, or she brings it up, and she always says she had a great time, and she hopes we can work together again, and I'd work together with her in a second. In a second.
She is charming as all get up. I don't know, Steve, when you got home from New York with all the new web series and stuff, did you check any of them out? Did any ones that struck your fancy?
I'm still so far behind because I'm still watching the ones from the IAWTV Awards with Squaresville, which I hadn't even heard of. I did check out the Bloody Mary show. I checked out a little bit of the new season of In Between Men. But I do have to catch up. I not that this will come as any surprise to anybody, I am working so much that I barely have time to watch the quick times of the Inn that Nicole needs me to approve and send back. So I definitely have to keep up. But I am, you know, as always, I'm thrilled to be in this community. It's so exciting to see all these people making, you know, just putting themselves out there and making stuff. And hopefully, you know, everybody can have continued success. And as I say, and I keep saying, telling people is, you know, don't do it because you want to win an award, and don't do it because you're hoping you'll make a DVD or sell it to television or whatever your dreams are. Do it because it's fun. Do it because
Absolutely.
It's fun.
And quite frankly, I'm glad you're doing it because it's fun, Steve. You can find The Inn at www.theinntheseries. Season finale was up Monday. You can go ahead and catch it there, or wait for season two opener coming up in June. Very, very excited, Steve. Steve, I want to thank you so much for taking the time tonight and, you know, doing it to it, so to speak. And I look so forward. Let's not make it a year until we see each other again.
No,
Steve cannot make it a year because we had this private conversation, and he needs to try to work on a schedule of being in D.C. in June and July, because I've got a few things in the works for him. Michael Taylor Gray, and hopefully Dee. So what I really like to do is contact some of the universities and some of the art schools here in D.C. because they've got a bunch of summer programs, and get them, you know, in the schools to talk to some of the students and to talk about web series and what they're doing. So I know, Michael, it's not going to be that long before we see them again, because, of course, when he comes to D.C., you'll have to come down too. So it's not going to be that long.
And you guys have to come. Y'all have to come this way because we don't have a giant house, but we have two giant. The bedrooms are sick. You will die when you see how big. You guys actually, like, we put a little screen up, and it's probably, you know, bigger than your bedrooms. So come spend some time in our guest room. We got four pools here, and we can all have a great time. And Victoria will love it because there's no. There's no black people here. It's Palm Springs. There's very few black people.
Black people don't go to Palm Springs. White people turn black in Palm Springs.
As long as I get to hang out close to you guys, and because I don't want people to think that you guys kidnapped me. As long as they don't think I've been kidnapped in
the city. It's just what Michael just said. They'll just think you laid out the pool too long, like Michael just said.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, Steve, it's like me driving in a car in Anacostia with Victoria. It's exactly the same thing. But I want to go ahead and actually point out, Steve, too, congratulations to the People's 50th tribute to General Hospital. The mention on Denise Alexander's page was brilliant. And that's reaching millions of readers.
That was the craziest thing. I'll tell you a really quick story. We were at there was a night at the Academy this past Monday night for Revenge, the TV series, and Ray Prussia, who plays Teddy on The Inn, the blind innkeeper who wears glasses, he works on the main committee for these events. So he got us in the pre-party, and we're, like, hanging out with Madeline Stowe and the entire cast. And then we go in and we watch the whole thing. The whole thing's over, and a couple of my friends are there from years ago. And Michael Maloney, who's a writer, he writes for TV Guide and People and all sorts of places, he goes, "You saw this, right?" And he opens it up, and I'm glancing, "Oh, cute, cute, cute." And my eyes go zonk, and he goes, "Yeah, he wrote several of them for people, and he wrote the Denise Alexander one, and he made sure to put in the Pretty and in reference." And I was so honored, and I kept saying, I was like, "Oh, my," and he's like, "Oh, it's my pleasure." And he said, "I wish I could have gotten the web address," and I'm like, "No, that's more than I could have ever asked for."
Right.
I ran out and I bought four copies, and I, you know, I put it up on Facebook, and it's like, holy crap, I can actually say that I'm in People magazine.
Awesome.
That's fantastic, buddy. Super proud of you.
Well, thank you, guys. It's always great talking to you guys, and I'll tell you what, let's also do this. When season two gets real close, let's get you like Crystal and Denise and maybe Mark Gant.
Oh,
who,
fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah. If you guys want to do an in-show, we'll get you a whole bunch of those guys to call in, and you can talk to them. And it'll be great because they'll do what they do in all the interviews. You'll try to get stuff out of them, and then they'll all be in fear of their lives that I will kill them if they tell you anything.
That sounds great.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to talk to Crystal. Steve, darling, we love you. Hugs and kisses, and thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you soon, and we'll see you on Facebook.
Okay, you guys. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Buddy,
love you guys, too. That was the one and only Steve Silverman, who Michael and I, you know what, Michael, it's funny because they were, Steve and Pretty was the first web series that ever you booked that came on At Home with Victoria. So what has it been over a year now? So now, although, you know, I admire Steve for his craft and what he does, but now it's kind of pushed into another realm that I sort of see them, Dee and Michael and the whole group as kind of like really my family and friends now. So it's interesting for me, at least, how my relationship with them has actually changed over the years.
Well, I think you said it best when you were actually at the Municipal Awards and you were crossing your fingers. And so when someone you know is up for an award and stuff and you really like and you get to spend time with, it becomes more exciting. And, yeah, Steve Silverman was the very – Pretty was the very first web series that I clicked into only because of the current situation. And, you know, then my – you know, catch up with you and being introduced the two of you together, it's been fantastic. And Steve Silverman is...
And we still don't, because listen, I asked you the question, I think, when we were in New York or wherever we were, and I asked you the question, how did you even find Pretty? You really didn't know. I think you thought that it was Steve. No, we really don't know how you stumbled on to Pretty the Series in the first place, do we? You really don't know.
I stumbled on to Pretty the Series because through Facebook he was linked up with a couple other people with another project that I liked, and then so it was just one of those how Facebook happens with suggested things that I just happened to accidentally click on it, and it became the funniest thing that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the episode one, season one of Pretty is brilliant, and not that the others aren't, but that's what started my whole foray into the fact that there was this whole internet market that was fantastic, better than television on television.
Well, I can remember honestly as if it were yesterday when you got turned on to them and you started sending me the link saying, Vic, you've got to watch this. Because we always sort of made fun of the toddlers and tiaras, and you like it's sort of like that, but it's not. It's funny. It's funny. You've got to watch it. And of course, I watched it, and I thought this is great. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like this should be on TV. Like why am I not seeing this on television? But it is exciting, you know, to see how far that industry is coming along. Because every single year it grows, and you know, more shows seem to be hitting the web as well. And this year at the Indie Soap Awards, what we didn't mention, we actually had, that made me think about Shannon, a web series. Some folks came from overseas, from Europe, that won some awards, right?
Right. The Bloody Mary show, actually, out of London is fantastic. It's a parody. But I want to make a quick mention, actually, to everybody up in chat, Gretchen, to Mark B. in Nashville, and Shannon Sibbold from the UK. Shannon Sibbold, I'm pretty proud to announce, Victoria, and as are you, that Shannon now is our new foreign correspondent, bringing us the best in indie music from Jaro. And thrilled to have her on staff. I trust a 17-year-old girl more than I trust a 50-year-old man sometimes.
I thought she was already kind of on staff.
Well, she was, but I mean, I just wanted to go ahead and declare that
as being Shannon.
As absolute possible. So Marby, always our great producer in Nashville. Victoria, I'm absolutely thrilled you were able to make it to New York and meet all these people. I'm changing, for those who don't know, Victoria and I have discussed this with Marilyn too, but I'm going to be starting on Wednesdays as Web Wednesdays. So anything music, web series, V-blogs, B-blogs, all that baloney, I'm now committing myself to bringing you the best in web series. And Vic, I thank you for the opportunity.
Wednesday,
Yeah, when you mentioned that to me and we had our meeting, I think Wednesday is good because, like I said, I like the sound of that Web Wednesdays, and we can sort of just make that our home for that type of thing. I do want to mention, too, we've got a couple of other shows coming up next week, the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington, D.C. Michael and I are going to tell you a little bit about that next week when they're on, and also we're going to do some shows on summer nutrition and fitness because you guys know how much I'm into nutrition and health, and so we're going to do some shows on that. Then we're going to do a segment on News Crunch. You guys know how much I love news, and that's my background, but a couple of things we're going to talk about on there. I don't know if you know that there was a elderly woman in a nursing home who literally died. Nobody helped her at the nursing home. Actually, I don't think it was a nursing home. It was more a retirement home. But they called 911, and the people on staff there were not able to administer CPR, and she ended up dying. So I thought that was kind of interesting to talk about that. And then I know we just had a deadly lion attack. I think it was a 24-year-old worker or a volunteer that was killed by a lion at a zoo. So that, you know, sort of raises that question. And Steve may be good for this News Crunch segment, sort of raises that whole question about, you know, about zoos these days. I mean, how relevant are they? Do we really need them? You know, should we have these animals in captivity? So we're going to be talking about those two topics on News Crunch. But, Michael, we really are running out of time. I'll let you play a song to get us out of here, and we'll say goodnight.
No problem. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Victoria, it's a pleasure, and
welcome back.
You know, welcome back, absolutely. This is Mona Chatterjee, not just a princess. Don't go away.
Been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.